Welcome to Grace on the Go. This podcast is designed so that you can take grace with you anywhere you go. This episode is a sermon from Sunday, May 19th, 2019, called Even Them by Pastor Jonathan Dinger. The scripture passage highlighted for today's sermon comes from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved."
So my favorite service project of all time is building houses in Mexico. I got hooked into it when I served church in Portland, and I've been doing it now for, about 20 years almost. Built about 8 or 9 homes and been involved with the fundraising for others. And it takes place in Tijuana or Tecate in Mexicali. Those are the three towns that happens. And it's Baja Christian Ministries. And we got connected to them when I was at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Portland. And I just love the ministry because it's affordable and you can drive there and do those things. And there's nothing cooler than handing a key. I mean, it's just nothing cooler than handing the key of a house to a family. Change your life. Transforms your life. But one time I got myself into some real trouble. So where I served in Portland, we had about a 25% Hispanic population, and we were not meeting, we had no plans, no ways that we could think of to reach that community. I don't know if you know this, when we have Hispanic immigrants, you know, from Latin America, Mexico, and so forth, they're all Catholic, right? At least they're all baptized, but like when they come here, there are not nearly enough Spanish-speaking priests and so forth, and they don't go to church. Sometimes they're worried about INS, sometimes they're worried about they can't understand cultural. Anyway, it's a tiny percentage of Hispanics that actually go to church. And so there's an opportunity there to reach them. And so we had been going down to Mexico for a number of years, and just fell in love with this ministry, Baja Christian Ministries. And the lead guy on site was Pastor Hector. And Pastor Hector was great. He knew how to build these houses in his sleep. And it's like building a single car garage. So it's 2 little bedrooms and a loft, and then a main room, and it's got electricity, no water. It's on a concrete slab. And then there's a baño outside. That's what you build. And it transforms their life. Change your life. Because what they're living in before is, you know, it's a latrine. Essentially, and then now they live in this. It's phenomenal. But Pastor Hector, as we're building and framing and putting all this stuff, and he is a slave driver. Vamanos, you know. He's like that all the time. Because we got a window of 3 or 4 days, and then he's got another crew coming in, and they got to keep building houses. They built thousands of these houses. And one time, I'm sitting there, and it's been on my heart as I'm driving down there, how can we reach this population? 1 out of every 4 people in the community we live spoke Spanish. I mean, and we couldn't reach them. I couldn't. And so we're in the middle, Pastor Hector and I are framing a window up in a loft, and it just overcomes me. This is not very Lutheran of me, but it just overcomes me, in which I said, "Pastor Hector, I'm the senior pastor of this church, and we have to reach this community. I am offering you a position as a pastor at our church." Well, there were 2 elders on this trip, and they heard about it later, and they were great. They loved me, and but they're saying, "You can't do that." And they were right. They were right. I overstepped myself. I was so overcome. I just loved the guy. And I am still fully convinced. Now, he saved my bacon because he declined. But, I mean, he went back to his family and to the office. They were mad at me. Boy, the office was mad because we had made this offer. But anyway, and my elders were mad at me. They were all mad at me. And it was interesting because as we sat that evening, those 2 other leaders in the church, and they were lovely. They were wonderful. It wasn't, but they were like, there was the potential for real conflict. You get it? There was a potential. Now, it didn't happen, and it was a learning experience, and that pales in comparison to the situation that Peter's dealing with. Churches get into conflict at times. Is that a shock to you? In large part, it's because it deals with matters of such tremendous importance. Some of the choices and decisions and ways that we talk and do work can impact people for all eternity. In fact, do impact people for all eternity and impact them also in the moment, which can be very challenging as people deal with the issues and challenges of life. And so people are very passionate. It saddens me when we fight over the color of the carpet. That happens. Or getting a new hymnal. Or if we have an organ or not. Or whatever. Or can we have drums in the sanctuary, right? I mean, that grieves me when we... But there are other issues over which we really are passionate about. And it causes... So how do you keep it from descending into conflict and make it... How do we bring disparate perspectives and opinions and have them move forward with God's vision? So this lesson, I think, is a good one, because I hope it can apply to everything in your life, because what do we do in life that doesn't have the potential for conflict? Right? Family, kids, spouse, workplace, neighbor, you know, whatever. So let's talk about it, and I hope it blesses you. Okay, so here's what I want to share with you. First one, the first point is be transparent. Be transparent. This is one of the ways to avoid the conflict before it ever happens. The more I tell people this all the time, I play with all my cards up. We live in an era in which there's too many secrets. There's lots of secrets. I mean, you look at all this stuff. Let me just say some comments. I don't know. Collusion or Mueller report or Congress or Justice Committee, whatever. There's all these secrets everywhere. There's just secret. Now, I guess there are some that are important for national security, blah, blah, blah. For me, in my life, I can't live that. I cannot live that way. And so I have to play with the cards up. And what I discover is so often, so many of these earth-shattering, horrible secrets are not so earth-shattering and horrible as people imagine them to be. I cannot tell you how many times this happened to me as a pastor. Someone will come to me and we're dealing with some big issue. We want to start a high school. We want to raise $1 million. We want to hire a new person. Whatever it is, big deal. Like one of these days, we may have to get rid of all these pink chairs and find a way to upgrade. You know, that could be an issue because it could be a big number. And some people go, these chairs are good enough for me. You know, I mean, whatever. So, you know, I don't know. And so there's the potential for this. So I play with my cards up. So many times people come to me and they go, Pastor, you know, there's a bunch of people, I'm hearing a bunch of people are very unhappy about that decision, very unhappy. And then I'll say, oh, who are they? Oh, I can't tell you that. And then I'm like, I'm their pastor. You can't tell me that? You can't, are you kidding? And then I say, until you'll tell me who it is, we're not having this conversation. Because I can't minister to people, I can't do it. So if you'll tell me, and inevitably, this is how it sorts itself out. Well, if they get honest, they go, well, really, it was me and Bill talking over a beer. I mean, that's how it is. Okay. Let's go have a beer together. And we'll sort through it. So it's just fascinating how a secret can grow and grow and grow. Like I laughed about the Harry Potter books. I cannot tell you how many times in the Harry Potter books I said, stop keeping secrets. If you would just tell the kid that something, life could improve. They could figure these things out. In fact, there's a title. A person carries a title in that series of books of secret keeper. I'm that person's secret keeper. That is unhealthy. That is unhealthy. I mean, we all got them. Like in my own family, I've told you family secrets that our family has held for years and years. You know what? Once the light of day hit them, it was like, okay, that really kind of stinks, but okay. Let's deal with it. And so this is what Peter does. Because here's the situation. Peter, he comes home, right? He comes home and the Jewish Christians are going, hey, wait a minute. We heard you went to Caesarea and you ate, right? What's it say? What's it say on the next one? Oh, no, up above. You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. Now, eating with someone, very intimate thing. It's a very intimate thing, right? There's no Netflix, no Amazon Prime, right? And so entertainment was in the evening, and you met together, and you visited. It was where you gossiped, and you told stories, and you visited about everything that was going on. Very intimate when you eat with someone. but they were uncircumcised men, non-Jewish people. That is not okay, Peter. That is not okay. Now, is that reminiscent of another scene? When the religious leaders went to Jesus, and he says, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's the very beginning of Luke chapter 15. I'll tell you what, you want to hit a hot button for Jesus? Hit that button. You go to Jesus and say, how dare you eat with those slime balls over there? They do not deserve it. How dare you eat with them? We are the deserving ones. We are the good people. They are the bad people, Jesus. Don't you forget it. Okay, that riled him up because he tells three of the greatest parables of all time. Then they ratchet up on one another. You got 100 sheep and you lost one? You willing to go find it? Are you going to celebrate when you find it? So does heaven when a sinner repents. Oh, what if you're a widow and 10% of your income lost? If she finds it, is she going to rejoice? Yes. And what if you're a man who has two sons? And one of the sons says, Dad, give me my inheritance. I wish you were dead. And when he comes home with a repentant and broken heart, the father runs to meet him and welcomes him home. You want to know how important these people are to my Father in heaven? That's how important. That's the same line. They didn't pay attention even to Jesus. And these are Christians. They had forgotten that Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. And Peter did the same. And to be honest, it isn't as if they were sinners. This guy is a Roman centurion. He's a God-fearer, it says. He and his family, very devout, eager to find and honor the way. He was very respectful of Jewish law, and he longed to serve the Lord. This is a good guy. This is a really good guy, but he's Roman, right? And so he's the enemy, and he's a Gentile. So he's disgusting. And he's not one of us, so it can't be okay, and that's the story. So there is the potential for huge conflict. This, by the way, is the major conflict in the early church. How Jewish do you have to be acceptable in the church to Jesus? So here are, just from this text, because we could come up with 20 things, but from this text, these are the things I think help avoid that conflict. Being transparent is the first that starts. Because Jesus, to be honest, is very honest with us too. And you may look at me and go, wait a minute, what about that secret? He said, keep that secret about the Messiah. It really wasn't that it was a secret. Because so many people did know that he was the Messiah. And as soon as you tell, like, two Jewish women, you're done. Right? It's no secret no more. But it was timing and it was where and how much, right? That was the thing. So Jesus is very honest. Jesus is very honest. He says, yeah, you're a sinner. Yeah, I'm your Savior. And yes, I'm your only hope. Yes, I'm the Messiah. And so these people go around saying, Jesus, why don't you tell us clearly that you're the Messiah? And Jesus' answer is consistent. I did tell you, you don't like the answer. I was as clear as a bell. Who else can walk on water? Who else can raise people from the dead? Who else gives the blind their sight and the lame to walk? Who else? You tell me. And so Jesus is like eminently clear. So Jesus is transparent. Jesus does not keep secrets. Second thing, remember what God has made clean. So my wife is funny. I used to crab in Oregon all the time, which had a double-edged sword. I loved it. I hated it on the one hand because I would bring home 24 crab and I'd have to give most of it away because my wife doesn't eat it, which is a sadness to me. On the other hand, more for me. Okay, so I got to eat a lot of Dungeness crab, and there is almost nothing better for me. You know, it's just a vehicle to eat butter, right? I mean, it's like corn on the cob and crab. It's just how much butter can I get into me? That's all it is. Okay, but my wife, and so I've decided, my wife hates all that stuff. Lobster, crab, scallops, all that stuff. I love it. I just love it. I could just pour it on me and dip it in butter. And so, but it's funny, I'm going to start quoting to her this verse because she goes to me, if you've ever seen what crab bait is, it's the most horrible stuff there is. I mean, it's just horrible. It's all rotten, disgusting. And she goes to me, have you seen what they eat? You know, and I go, whatever. I said, but I said, I'm going to start quoting to you verse 9, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. There you go. That's my quote to my wife. In all seriousness, this is a great point in here about avoiding conflict. It's a great reminder. It's a great reminder. Because sometimes when we get in conflict, we frame it in such a way that the other person is unclean. The other person is unclean. And people, let me tell you this great truth of Scripture. Whether the person you're dealing with acts in a manner in which you think is godly or God has still paid for the sins of every human being that you have ever seen. God has still redeemed every person who you have ever met and will ever meet. Every person sins, right? It says it this way in Romans. While we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. That includes you and me. Jesus paid them all. So therefore, do not declare impure those things which God has declared clean. That's me and you. And so when we deal with one another, we have to deal with someone who we know Jesus Christ has sacrificed just as completely for as they did for you or me. Third thing, trust in the wisdom of God. I have often found this the case. I've been put in situations where I've had the privilege to be on boards like of the university, Concordia University in Portland, or served as chairmen of boards, Forest Hills Lutheran School in Oregon, been on Northwest District Board, another task force and so forth. And it's funny because sometimes when I work with boards, they get the mistaken idea that the board is supposed to run the institution. And that's strange to me. Because I have never perceived my role on a board, even when I was the chairman, because the board is here debating about all these things they should do with curriculum and this and that. And I turn to the principal and I go, Dan, what do you want to do? And in large part, I could do that because I had a long history with Dan and I trusted him. And he was a godly man who was humble and did what he was supposed to do. And so I've always found my perspective on a board is I want to help that leader and their team succeed. How do I help them succeed? And I can help you keep you accountable to that. But I want to help you succeed. I don't want to run the show. Because that's actually why we hired you. You know? But it's interesting because look at what Peter says. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. Right? So these people are questioning Peter. Why would you hang out with these Gentiles and eat with them? This is just wrong. And so he goes, wait a minute. Peter explains everything. Lays it all out. He's completely transparent. And then he says, I remembered God had come to me in a vision and said, don't call anything impure that he has made, you know, that God has made clean. And to be honest, it wasn't just about food. It was about these people. God had declared them redeemed. And then he says, and I trusted because the Spirit told me to have no hesitation and I trusted and I went. Now, what's neat is Peter has some history because just a couple weeks ago, we studied the passage about Paul with Ananias. Remember that guy? And so God goes to Ananias and says, go to Paul and baptize him. And Ananias goes, wait. You know this is the dude who's come to arrest me and my family? Right? And God essentially says, look, don't argue with me. Just go. And so he went. Peter has that model. We have that model too. To trust in the wisdom of God, not in my own, but that God says go, we go. Fourth thing. Let me tell you a little story about this building that's next to us. Not the high school, but the next one down. If you don't know that, we own that building. And it took us years to get it done. And so we own that called the Mountain View Event Center. And it creates income for us. It's income we can't use yet because our lender, our bank, who's Lutheran Bank, was so nervous about us doing that. So this is the conversation on the phone. Because when we first got it approved, well, anyway, long story. I back it up. So I'm talking to the executive of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, our Lutheran bank. And he's like on the phone, they've been looking at this application. He's going, what is it you want to do again? And I go, well, it's an event center. It's auditorium district. It's funded by a bed tax. And I said, nobody in town will do it for him. We'd like to do it for him because we think it would bless the community. It would bring people on our campus. And people will see that Grace is not an adversary, but we're a partner in the community. We're trying to build bridges so that we can talk about Jesus. Okay? And he stops and he goes, Rich Robertson, he's the CEO. And he goes, so is it a church? I go, no. Are you going to do church services there? No. He says, is it a school? No. Will your school be able to, you know, use the building like half the time? No. What do you want to do again? You know, I mean, it was really out of the box. It was so far out of the box. And I said, he goes, what if like Planned Parenthood wants to have a convention there? Or there's an LGBTQ convention. You know, how will you deal with it? I said, we're neighbors. We're citizens in this community. We'll walk together. I said, trust me on this. People kind of get where Grace stands on stuff. You know, we're kind of about the Bible. People kind of get it. But we love our neighbors. And we want to walk together. And as long as it's not illegal, we could say, I might disagree with that, but you're our neighbors. That's okay. And so we can be respectful. Anyway, it was cool. It was the coolest thing. Fine. And they get it. They gave us the money. Like, you know, it's like $5 or $6 million. Crazy. Anyway, here's the point. When I talked to Rich Robertson, I said to him again and again and again, I said, Rich, this is our opportunity to build a bridge so that we might declare the good news and grace of Jesus Christ to people who might not hear it any other way. I just said it over and over and over. This will give us opportunities to share the gospel that we may never have had any other way. I said it over and over and over. That's what's happening here. Keep the main thing the main thing. You want to reduce conflict? When you're in conflict, remind people. Like I had to do this with my wife early in our relationship, early in our marriage. We were going at it, and we don't yell, you know, and we don't swear or do any of that, but it was tense. And it was pretty tense. And it could have gotten to a spot where we might have said things we would have regretted. And you can't unsay them, right, husbands and wives? Remember that. You can't unsay them. So before I got to that spot, I had to stop her, and I said, okay, honey, remember, I would lay my life down for you. I adore you. There is no one else for me. I am madly in love with you, but we're disagreeing on this. And then we kept going. But I had to remind myself. I had to remind us. Sometimes you have to do that in the midst of conflict. What's the main thing? And in this case, the text says, he will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. Okay, that's enough. That's enough for me. Because people will then go, well, how will you pay for that? Well, what about, what will the government say? What's the red tape? How many hoops do you have? No. He's going to bring you a message through which you will all be saved. And then the last point is this. So we keep the main thing the main thing. Last thing. Let's agree with God. So in our region, how am I doing? Oh, gosh, I'm going too long again. Forgive me. I'll finish up. Forgive me. Because this is significant. Agree with God. I love what Peter says. Who was I to think that I could oppose God? So we had a guest speaker into our pastor's conference from the national headquarters, and it was about, well, one of the issues, it's a big issue for us, is how do we help these little tiny churches get served if they can't afford a pastor, right, a full-time, how do we do it? And what was cool was the speaker came in and he said, let's say two things. We refuse as a church body to let these little churches die. Secondly, let's also agree that God wants us to do this not in chaos, but in order, in good order. Can we agree on that? And I said, yes, we can agree with God on that. And boy, it helped the conversation. It helped, because we can get lost in the weeds. You can get lost. So how powerful is it when we agree with God? And when we agree with God, we move on. If God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? So what a blessing it is for us to be able to say, because what they began with was, you mean even those guys are welcome into the family of God? Because when we can stop and say, even I was welcomed into the family of God, now we're agreeing with God. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, I thank you for this message that gives us a thought on crisis and conflict. Because boy, Lord, it happens and it's easy to descend. It's easy to name call. It's easy to demonize. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this guidance and this model from Peter as he communicated with transparency and humility and with honesty. And Lord, the church moved forward to the praise and honor of your name. For that, we give you thanks. And now, Lord, we lift up your name and we rejoice and we praise you It's in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Hey everyone, I just want to encourage you real quick to check in with our Grace Lutheran Church Facebook. We have many events coming up this summer that you won't want to miss. You can find us at facebook.com/GLC Pocatello.